I am sure you have all heard the expression, a sober second thought, the implication being that some actions in life require thorough thinking. We don't take hasty action that could be detrimental to others. And in this opening of this passage from Romans this morning, that seems to be what Paul is asking of us. Take a moment to pause and ensure you are making the right decision so that you may present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, many have read these words and they read them in reference to our bodies. This passage is often referred to when it comes to chastising people for lewd behavior, drunkenness, or drug use. However, commentator Scott Hoyes writes about these words that in this particular context, Paul seems to have in mind not worldly things like immoral sexual practices or riotous living and drunkenness or any other number of tawdry behaviors. But no, here the turn from worldliness involves principally a new way to regard our very selves, our talents, what we're good at, and then how we regard those around us too. And he writes this, and I believe he's onto something here, but we need to consider what comes next in the passage. We can't just stop at that section about being living sacrifices. Because we have, as was read by Jan, a section of Scripture which speaks about our gifts and how we use those gifts for God's kingdom. A reminder that as the church, we are one body in Christ. And Paul reminds us that it is okay to think well of ourselves, just don't think too well about yourself. Keep that ego in check. Don't let things go to your head. The passage asks us to figure out what it means to live as a community of faith which follows Jesus Christ. And the key to understanding that is found right back in that first verse, the true worship. Worship, then, is central to who we are as Christians and in our relationship with one another. And not just the hour on Sunday morning. In fact, I would argue that this hour of formal worship on Sunday morning is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is referring to something deeper and which is much more central to our core identity as a Christian. Our day-to-day actions. How we treat one another, talk with one another, support one another. Paul reminds us that each is different. And we find here a passage about the parts of the body, a passage and a metaphor that Paul will expand upon in his letter to the church in Corinth. But if each of us makes up a part of the body of Christ, each functioning within the life of the church, then what should this community of faith look like? We are grounded and gathered together through our relationship with God as we understand it, within a particular tradition within the Christian church. However, our ability to understand ourselves as a community of faith only works if we understand ourselves within the larger culture that we are a part of. We can only define our identity if we understand why we are different from the culture that we are a part of. Now, the church, in its earliest days, was an alternative community. The earliest followers of Jesus were Jews who began to follow a new rabbi, a new teacher. And eventually, that mission grew and expanded and came to include the Gentiles. Those earliest followers were living as an alternative Jewish community. And the followers of Jesus grew and eventually became known as Christians. And within the context of the Roman Empire, they were again an alternative community. Their beliefs were so radical from Roman culture that the average Christian risked death simply for holding those beliefs. Now, over time, this changed, and Christianity went from becoming an alternative community to being what everyone in Europe, and then if you follow one particular narrative, what everyone in North America believed. Everyone was simply a Christian. It was a Christian society, so much so that they didn't even think about it that way. Just everyone believed in God and was Christian. To live in this particular North Atlantic society meant that you were a Christian. The church was no longer an alternative community. It was no longer an alternative community to call yourself Christian. Everyone was a Christian. Alternative communities existed within society, which I would argue would be the monastic traditions, those who took a particular focus on their beliefs. And it is only within very recent history, the last 50 to 70 years, where the political and temporal power of Christian culture in Western society has begun to wane. Christendom is a thing of the past. And we, who are Christians, are left wondering what to do and how to live in a culture which doesn't meet with our values or expectations. Let's think about this. Last night, there was a fight in Vegas, a boxing match, and one of those boxers earned $100 million to have that fight. This is the culture that surrounds us, and we, as the church, are an alternative to that. And we need to understand what's around us and why we're different and what we offer. And this is in part what Paul is encouraging that early church in Rome to do, and it's something that is very relevant for us still today. Commentator Elazar Fernandez writes, "Throughout the ages, the church has been faced with the challenge of naming, articulating, and living out its life as a distinct community. Worship is confused with marketing technique, stewardship with fundraising, spirituality with meditation techniques, vitality with growth, and ministry with programs and services." Friends, a lot of the time, we let the tail wag the dog. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how are we different from the culture that we are situated in? What defines us and makes us different? We live in a culture of rampant consumerism, which seeks to occupy us with distractions of every kind. And satisfying oneself appears to be the primary goal of most people's activities. And the cult of celebrity goes hand in hand with that cult of consumerism. And Paul's words to us this morning are all grounded in the language of humility and service. And our every action should be one of encouragement and hospitality. And one could argue that hospitality is a mark of the church. Supporting soup kitchens, food banks, shelters, all of this is part of the hospitality that we offer. that the church offers, but we in particular at St. Andrew's, this is work that we do. We open our building to groups and organizations which work for the betterment of our community. And all of this is good, and all of this is hospitable. However, we need to move beyond hospitality as charity and approach hospitality as an act of justice. This passage works as a set of core values that Christians are to follow. And we can continue to move in ways and the patterns that we always have. Or we can challenge ourselves and go a step further. And next week, we'll look at the words which follow this passage. Hate what is evil, hold on to what is good. Call for discernment to know the difference. Being hospitable as an act of justice requires us to name what is evil and promote that which is good. It means we need to speak up in the naming, and we must stand up for what is good. And all this is done through the gifts which God has granted us. All of this, not as individuals, but as a community of faith. A community of faith following Jesus Christ, recognizing the benefit and the harm of the culture we are surrounded by, set apart, yet a part of. So reach out. Be radical in the way that you offer hospitality. Seek justice in the way you offer hospitality. Because doing so will elevate those around you and empower them through God's justice. And all of this is pleasing to God. And it is the way that God wants to be worshipped. Amen.